Blog Talk Radio.
Three-minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go! Woo!
Be a fit. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
Never know popcorn.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it. You know it. They tucked into their little beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend, and future owner Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo Gibbermadine. Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lions Den Jones. Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale. Bruce, the 13th man John Inch. Aaron, enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groove? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson. Rob, the pistol J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duvidien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormspecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron William, the meathead freelance. Jarrett, the roadie, and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble Cable Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm a like a to listen to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
One, two, three. We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. One, two.
We're the Argo cheerleaders,
and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay! Woo. Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank! Go Frank!
Ah, yes, another wonderful week. I don't want to talk about this right now. We'll talk about it a little later. I'm not feeling very good about the news that I got today. It's not very pleasant. And well, anyway, let's talk about bigger and better things and. Let's just say CFL football. Let's talk about CFL football because it is the best football in the world. Well, we'll start with Montreal. It's, Montreal. What's happening this week? Oh, yeah. They're mixing it up again with the coach and staff. So they named Jeff Garcia. He is now the team's quarterback coach. While Ryan Dinwiddie has been officially named offensive coordinator. Now, I thought he was the offensive coordinator, but I guess it's official now. And I guess they were contemplating whether they were going to let him go. And they also announced that Eric Campbell has been relieved of his duties with the team. Turk Schonert has been appointed as receivers coach. All right, so they made all these decisions. You knew something was going to happen. Higgins is very pleased to announce these changes. And, you know, he feels that they have the receivers and they should have the quarterback that can pitch the ball to the receivers. Now, in the game I watched, I don't know what you saw when you watched Montreal play, but it sure seemed to me like instead of stick'em, they were using grease. Because if a Montreal receiver could please hang on to the ball for a second, maybe?
Like, you know, catch the ball. You've been doing it since you were in Little League, if that's what they call, you know, young guys to play football. They couldn't squeeze the melon, man. It was ridiculous. Poor Smith. I mean, he is a good quarterback. Troy Smith was awesome. He was pitching it and putting it in the hands of the players. But they wasn't catching it. They wasn't squeezing it. Good golly, they might have a bunch of talented receivers, but they sure do need to go to catch the football school again. Okay. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, the only news worth talking about with Hamilton, and the only thing I care about, is Labor Day. Will it be at the new stadium, yes or no? They keep telling us, oh, it will happen. The Labor Day Classic, that is. It will happen. Timbit Field. Okay, Tim Hortons Field. That's the Bruce John Inch in me coming up. I hope it's there, because the last thing I want to do is take a bus to McMaster. I'm uneducated, and I want to stay that way. Don't send me to McMaster. Please. All right. As far as the Ottawa Redblacks is concerned, things are very quiet. As you heard me say last week, they could use a couple of receivers that know how to catch the ball, and I think they go to the same school that the Montreal Alouettes receivers go to. It's the school of greased melon. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Great quarterback in this town as well, but this one here, very experienced. Burris is a great quarterback. Can he find a guy to throw the ball to, and can that guy please catch the ball? If you're an Ottawa fan, you have to be very frustrated with knowing that you have a Class A quarterback, and I'm not even sure why the receivers are unable to either find themselves free and catch the ball all at once. As far as the Calgary Stampeders are concerned, if you know, and this is no Schmidt. I'm serious about this. They do have the best defense in the league. I could just hear Christopher squirming as I say that. Yes, Mr. Schmidt, your team has the best defense because you told me so. So I believe you. Talking about the British Columbia Lions and, you know, the future home of the Grey Cup, you know, and if you ask Christopher Jones, you know that they'll be there at the Grey Cup. It'll be a home game for them. Their quarterback won't be Glenn, but he will be one more week, it appears. He'll get another start for the British Columbia Lions. And, you know, he has done a pretty good job. You know, he's had, you know, iffy games. But when one considers that this guy, where he was after the draft, and I'm talking about the dispersal draft, and where he was when Burris was signed by Ottawa, and where he was after Burris signed with Ottawa, and he finally ended up on a team that wanted him to show what he could do, that, of course, being Christopher Jones, BC Lions. And he had some iffy games. You know, the interceptions were far too many, and he was having a lot of difficulty, but he has really picked it up. And as Christopher Jones, this is like the ninth time I've mentioned Christopher Jones's name, they just wanted to be 500. Well, now he could be plus over 500 if he wins his next game, which happens to be, where are they playing next? I think on Sunday they're playing somewhere. Where are they playing on Sunday? They're playing somewhere. I wish I could be there. Well, I will be there. It'll be here in Toronto. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, of course, some might suggest that Willie Pegg might be fading a little bit. And this team has, after a great start, is starting to look not as good as they were early. But still a great team, still a great quarterback. But boy, did you see that game against the Riders? Ay, 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 ay. They made Winnipeg look silly. And before you Rider fans start getting way heavy, you know, in the puff chest department, it's only a couple of games, and you still are in last place in the West, I think. I think they're still in last place in the West. Last time I looked anyway, I think they were. So on the subject of the Riders, the big question about the Riders is, are they the team to beat now? If you ask their fans, that was true about two games ago. But is it becoming clear that their defense was incredible against Winnipeg or Willie Pegg?
And they were full value for the victory. It was a great game to watch, and it was, I'm telling you, you know, as much as many, you know, as much as people love the Riders, people aren't, you know, that enamored with that team for some reason. I'm on the fence when it comes to them. And sometimes I'm on a cliff, and there's a few fans in Riderville that I'd like to throw over the cliff. But that's only because it's all in fun. I would never really do that. I wouldn't. No, really, I wouldn't. Okay, they've saved the best for last, or second last. Consistency in Edmonton is what they're looking for. Riley, every week, is improving. And this young Edmonton team, I think, is showing us that they're for real. While they have not hit the moon like Winnipeg did during this season, they have been fairly consistent. And there's only one thing, if you're an Edmonton fan, you'd like to hear. Reception by Fred Stamps. Again, with the receiver that can't catch the ball or can't find himself free. This is what Fred Stamps' problem is. He, when the season began, if you were an Edmonton fan or a person like myself who favored Edmonton and liked Edmonton and picked them last year to maybe, you know, play a lot better than they did, the biggest reason would have been Fred Stamps. But Bowman has picked up the slack left there by Fred Stamps to prove that he is. Darius Bowman is an all-star, and he is probably one of the best receivers in the league based on consistency game in, game out, and artistry in motion, showing some Montreal, Ottawa, and Fred Stamps how to catch a ball. This guy does it. Does it. Love him. Great player. And what can you say about Riley? With the Argonauts, they after having an off week, they will be playing two games in 6 days, one against Winnipeg tomorrow, where I will be at the Sky Dome, where I love watching football games. That's right, I love watching football games at the Sky Dome. I think it's the best venue for watching football. It's very, and BC on Sunday, of course. And it's very cozy. You can put your legs up in the seat in front of you because there's nobody sitting there. You can stretch your arms out because there's nobody sitting beside you. And if you're really inclined, you can stand up and do a jig and not bother anybody because there's probably nobody behind you. Is I making fun of the Toronto Argonauts and their fans? Of course I am. What fans? Where are these fans? Where'd they go? It seems every year there's less and less. I have a theory, and it's a very simple one. The owner doesn't want the team. The fans figure, well, if the owner doesn't want the team, why would I want to go? The landlord doesn't want the team. Why should the fans go? You know, you understand what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. What's going on in Toronto, hopefully it'll end soon. It is what it is. It isn't the end of the world. I'm painting a picture because I'm having fun with it. And because if I don't say anything about the lack of people in the stadium, a 55 and change stadium with, you know, sometimes under 20,000 people, you'd expect a lot more at a CFL game because the CFL is the best football in the world. So, are you all ready? We're going to talk football. That's right. Let's talk CFL football. When we come back, you know what? We won't go away this time. We're going to be going away a little later. So let's bring in our friends, and we'll start at the top of the list. And by the way, the names are not placed in any order. They're just basically how they come up. 615 area code, which would be Douglas Campbell. Douglas, first time caller. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Listen, I'm really interested and I truly am thrilled with the idea that you are over the moon with being on the program. First of all, I am really pleased.
Oh, yeah.
And honored with your presence.
I've never been interviewed before. Yeah, I've never been interviewed on the radio before. This is the first.
It's a first time, is it, Dougie? Well, you know what, Doug? We'll make it painless. Until Christopher starts talking, it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's the seventh okay. time I've mentioned Christopher. Tell me, what team do you root for? I think I know which team, but I'll have you say it.
Well, if I had to choose, and I've had several people ask me, and I've always said I like all the teams because I just enjoy the game so much, but I guess I'd be partial to maybe the Lions because I'm from Michigan, so I root for a Lions team as well, and since my Lions can't win diddly, at least nice to see a team that has that name win something.
Let me say this about that. Your Lions team's going to be a lot better this year. I think things are looking good for the Lions. Don't underestimate how they can improve. I think they will improve this year, and I think they will make you very happy. And I'm talking about Detroit. No, I think they will.
I sure hope so. Well, they've
got
you've got a great
running back. You've got a great running back. I think you've got a quarterback that might be able to prove that he's a pro. And, your team has had some, there's been a little light at the end of the tunnel, right? And I don't think it's an onrushing train, but still, I think, as a Lions fan, you're like any other fan of any team. You know, in sports, there seem to be so many teams that are always, I don't want to be insulting, okay? But you know what I mean, right? That
yes.
don't seem to have a prayer every year. And it gets pretty frustrating for the home fans. You know, it gets pretty frustrating. So I wish you a lot of luck with your Lions, both.
Well, thank you.
Lions, in fact.
Thank you.
And that means I get to mention Christopher Jones for the 10th time.
He's a popular guy.
He sure is. Ask him. He'll tell you.
Okay. I will.
That's Douglas. Next up is Kelly, I know everything, Bale, Davey's dad.
Absolutely. How you doing, guys?
Saskatchewan
yeah.
fan, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. Much more
pleased with the way things are going right now. Oh, we lost. We just talked to him, and then we lost him. We lost Dougie. He just he was dropped, as it's put here on my screen. And also, let me see now, 604. That would be, who would that be? Who would the 604 area code be?
11.
Who?
11th time.
11th.
You can
Christopher
see, 11th time.
How's it going, Christopher?
I'm fine. I think it's actually way more than 11. I think you said it like four times in one sentence.
There you go. And I said it, Christopher, each time. There you go. Good man. Also, and you're a Lions fan. As if pushed, as Doug said, he is a Lions fan. And from Michigan, it's not hard for him to be a Lions fan. And I referred to Schmitty's team as the best defense in the league. I know Schmitty's very happy to hear me say that. And I think he would agree with me, wouldn't you, Schmitty?
Absolutely, diddly doddly.
We've been arguing
go.
That one all day.
Plain and simple.
And it'll continue
and
to be a, it'll be an argument
whole,
until the day after the Grey
not,
Cup, buddy.
It's not just one player, it's the whole team.
Well, there you go. Also with us tonight is Michael Townsend. How's it going, Mikey?
Oh. Hey, what's going on? What's going on, Chris? What's going on, Storm? What's going on, Frank?
Nothing much, man.
Kelly.
Don't forget Kelly.
Who?
Yeah. We lost. Richardson was here, too. The fan of the week on CFL is this week, a new thing that we're doing on in our group. And you're more than welcome to use the same idea, Christopher.
Okay.
No? Okay. I just thought
I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I'm not allowed in that group. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, as the saying goes, this would have been your opportunity to say, I would not want to be in a group that would include me. That's what I say.
Do I look like Groucho Marx?
Do you really want me to answer that question? Groucho Marx, I think that's a new Groucho Jones. We also have Tammy. I can hear Tammy. I think it's Tammy, right, Tammy?
Yeah, it's Tammy. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, Tammy.
Hey, Tammy, how you doing?
I had the fan of the week on here, Tammy, and somehow he disappeared.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he was on here. We were talking before the show, and then he was gone. I didn't hang up on him.
He's so awesome.
Yes, he is. All CFL fans are awesome.
That's
but
right.
Steve is special. Steve has never met an item that's Argo that he doesn't like or does not want to purchase. He purchases everything. All right, so I guess the first thing we should do, we discuss, I got to say that, I hope nobody gets mad at me, but this was the worst week of football that we've seen in the CFL so far this year, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yes.
Just quantify your statement.
Oh, okay.
it appeared that none of the teams were in any of the games that they played. There was always a team that wasn't in it, except for the Ticats BC Lions, which, you know, the exception that makes the rule.
Well, was the Winnipeg Riders game that bad?
It was awful.
Yeah. Mm.
It was awful.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was not a contest.
You know what, Frank? You know what thing about it? It wasn't really an awful game. The last 5 minutes of the game was awful, especially on the Winnipeg side.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Because if Drew Willie wouldn't have thrown that long bomb to the long side and let it hang in the air, the receiver would have caught the ball easily before the defensive back even would have got it. That ball hung.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
that's what killed him when the ball hangs in the air. That's what killed him twice.
Exactly.
And my reference to the game, Winnipeg came out flat. And the Riders were full value. You know, whether you look at it as, and Tammy, you know, you can spank me if you want, you know, but the Riders did not, it wasn't.
Hey, Frank, I didn't know you were into that, but.
Well,
the first half wasn't that bad.
The first half was not too bad.
Okay.
The first half was okay. But Winnipeg couldn't do anything right in the second half.
No.
And that's what
But Willie, you know, even though with his interceptions, he still got 304 yards passing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Two interceptions and one fumble that led to a touchdown.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away from the yards he threw. I don't think it diminishes what he's going to be at all.
It diminishes his QB rating, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's all it does.
He's coming back to earth. There you go.
Yeah, that's all.
Everybody's allowed to have a bad game, you know. And
if it's just one
bad game, then Winnipeg's got something. But you know what? If he's been playing above his pay grade, and now he's coming back to reality, then you know Winnipeg's in trouble. So you know, it's a fine line right now. We'll see what happens in the next two or three games.
Yeah, you know, he needs a bounce back game because that wasn't the Willie that we've been watching this season. You know. Where we had magic before, we had frustration this week. It had to have been a very frustrating game. That's all.
I think he was ruffled because he's a pretty humble, even-keeled guy. And I think the whole situation before the game even started with do you guys know what happened?
No, please. Enlighten
us. No, we saw it. We saw a picture of it, but don't really know what happened.
Well, what happened was they were introducing the Bombers, and they were introducing a few players individually, and they called Saskatchewan out before that. Saskatchewan decided to stay in the tunnel and wait till they were introducing the Bombers, and then they rushed onto midfield.
Oh, you mean as a distraction?
No.
Just to kind of psych them out, right? I mean, I think it was
But you know what?
Yeah.
That
was when the whole CFL seen Mike O'Shea yell for the first time, but nobody could hear him because the crowd was so loud.
but you know what? You know what though, y'all? That right there was very so unprofessional of the Riders.
Yeah, it was.
It was dirty.
Gamesmanship,
my butt.
Right.
It was.
Everybody
knows it's as much gamesmanship as O'Shea talking in the ref's ear on that move the ball
you
forward.
What was wrong with that?
What do you mean? It's
what
gamesmanship.
What was wrong with him doing that?
There's nothing wrong with it.
He's not supposed to
just
do
like
that? I mean, he did it, and it got called. But he wasn't
just
telling the ref what to do.
There's nothing wrong with timing.
I'm going to win this one.
Let's narrow down how many voices so that we're all very clear on what's going on here. I'll leave it to three voices for now. We'll make it two voices, okay? Now Kelly and of course Tammy are supporters of the teams that played in that game, Kelly for Saskatchewan. And Tammy for Winnipeg. So if you're listening to the program, they're going to have a perspective. Even in their own minds, they're going to try and be fair. But still, it's your team. It's the same thing with the Argos. I'll try to be fair, but, you know, a little tiny piece of me keeps pulling the Argos way, right? So I'll be the last person to deny that. So we all do that. So, Kelly, you call it gamesmanship. How do you call that? How does that, in your mind, how do you justify what you're saying, calling it gamesmanship, when somebody does something like that that has nothing to do with the football game and is just basically almost like a high school thing, like a high school move that
you... You know, and that's your opinion. Let's just quantify that for a second.
Please.
And let's just say also that Tammy nailed it when she said that Saskatchewan psyched Winnipeg out, and it was the first attack of many throughout that football game. And it's not dirty because it's just gamesmanship.
No, I never said it was dirty. Did you hear me say it was
right.
dirty?
No, but no, not you, Frank.
But I did say it was high school.
No, I did.
It is high school.
Right.
That is
okay,
high school.
But listen... Wait, I've got more point to make.
Okay.
It's gamesmanship, and there's nothing wrong with it at all, just like there's nothing wrong with Mike O'Shea whispering in the referee's ear about a ball being advanced a half an inch forward on a short yardage play. Now, you know, if you want an example of something that is dirty and something that is wrong is when Louis Pisaglia retired in B.C. The Riders were playing at B.C. Place, and they stopped the game in midway through the third quarter for a half an hour. The Riders were up before that, and we lost the game because B.C.
Yep.
had a chance to rally and come back and win the game. That's dirty.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not the first time. It's not the first time in sports. I remember the time you're talking about, but it's not the first time
yep.
in sports when Gretzky got his... what was it, his 75th goal or 50th goal in 50
yeah.
games in Buffalo. They stopped the game. You know, that kind of stuff. That's not so much the team doing something. That's basically the organization allowing and the league allowing. Because
right.
that you blame on the league. Because for you to stop the game, you better have the league's permission. You know what I'm saying? Like that,
oh, yeah.
That's my point, right?
They did.
You know, it's tantamount to... Now, I'm an Argo fan, and Saskatchewan comes in here, and in the middle of the huddle, the Argo mascot runs into the huddle and starts high-fiving all the Saskatchewan players while they're trying to have a huddle. You know, that's the next thing that happens. You know, it's gamesmanship, but there are certain games that I don't think should be... We should show a little more, and I'm not saying it's classless for Saskatchewan to do it, but I am saying that it would appear to be more classy if you would just allow... If you would do the right thing, it's like Montreal has. They have the Canadians have the guest dressing room is on their side of the ice, so the other team has to skate across the ice to go to their dressing room. That to me is
yes.
classless. That's classless to me. That's classless, and that's an unfair advantage that you're obviously trying to foster, and that's my only thing about what happened with Saskatchewan. I missed it. But you know what? You gotta let that stuff. You gotta have control. If you're gonna let stuff like that go, get you, well, then you got a problem. So Tammy, your turn. I mean, that's the way I see it, anyway.
Well, I thought it was juvenile. I thought it was.
It is juvenile.
But what an interesting concept it was is that there was many Bomber rookies. Not as in rookies and players, but rookies on the team to this new
mm-hmm.
to this rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about it a couple of days before the game, and you know, they were like nonchalant about it. Okay, these young guys were like, "Well, it's no big deal. It's another game, whatever." And I don't think they understood, and I'm sure they were told, but I don't think they understood the intensity and what that game meant to Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and
that's
I think
the real
they were intimidated.
And to me, that's
and I don't
the
think it's
going to
happen again.
No. Well, hey, listen, you've got a young team. You said it yourself, that don't understand the Banjo Bowl concept, you know, who don't understand
yeah.
the rivalry and how heated it is. You know, and around the league, there's a lot of that going on. You know, I mean, Hamilton
yeah.
and Toronto, you know, Calgary and Edmonton, Calgary and B.C., Edmonton, I don't know who else Edmonton dances with. I was just trying to include B.C. in the conversation, you know, in the Banjo
yeah.
Bowl with Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, right? This is the kind of stuff, and it is the experience of Saskatchewan that won that game in more ways than one, and I think, Tammy, you hit the nail on the head, and you gave us great reason to understand
that that Winnipeg, Willipeg, wasn't ready for that game as a whole. As a whole.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of players
mm-hmm.
that were, but as a whole, the team wasn't ready. They really didn't understand how, you know, and that's why that little trick worked with Saskatchewan. It looked like it worked. Hang on. It looked like it worked. I think we're giving too much credit to what Saskatchewan did. I think it was more about what you said after, which is that there were too many players without the experience of the Saskatchewan-Winnipeg rivalry.
Yeah, and I think they can tell them all they want. The veterans can tell them all they want. You have to experience that.
I agree.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Good call there, Tammy. Very good call. And that's exactly the point. Okay. Let's finish talking about that game since that's the game we started with. And I'm looking here to see if anybody else wants us to call them. And I'm seeing that...
Frank,
no, we're good. I'm all caught up here. Go ahead.
Frank, I just want to... Frank?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to mention something. Steve, Little Argo Nut there, wants you to call him. And so does Douglas back. Douglas said...
I tried...
cut off.
I did call. He's here. Steve is here.
Yeah, I'm here now. Thanks, though, guys.
Okay.
Hey,
Steve. Hi. Congrats.
Hey, thanks, Tammy.
Congrats, Steve.
Douglas wants you
congrats,
to call
brother.
Him back, though, Frank, though. So.
Yeah.
This conversation, I'd like to add a little bit. I think it was really disrespectful. And,
of course it was.
You try that Schmidt in B.C., and it would have been a melee.
Holy cow, I'm agreeing with Christopher Jones.
No, I don't believe it. No, it's impossible.
but Christopher Jones,
we've done that quite a bit lately.
I don't agree with that. I think that's a fun part of football. That's a fun part of hockey. Whatever you want to say, it gets the other team going, and you're not doing anything wrong, and I
disagree, Storm. They actually did something wrong. They interfered with the introduction of their team. That's
absolutely
sacred.
Absolutely.
That's sacred. You
absolutely
don't do
that.
Well,
I don't know if
it's sacred.
Is it
is in the Bible or what?
That's
not sacred. That happens to any other team, I'd love it.
No. Winnipeg comes out as a team every game, and this was the first game that they did individual player introductions at home. They've been coming out
as
a team against league rules all season long.
I'd like to see these league rules.
Yeah, I would too.
What I got to say about it is this: it was wrong. It was unprofessional. And if BC would have did that in Saskatchewan, if Saskatchewan was coming out in the field, you would have heard it all on CFL ears how unprofessional BC Lions was for coming out doing Saskatchewan's introduction.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear that crap. That's so unprofessional, that team.
BC would never have done something like that, Mike.
But I hope they do.
But we're giving way too much credit to that causing throwing the Winnipeg team off. I think Tammy hit the nail on the head, and Tammy's 100% right. It's less about, and that was high school. What they did was high school, but I happen to think that was just a flame point, you know, like a match lighting the fire of, you know, giving Saskatchewan confidence and eroding a bit of Winnipeg's.
I don't think it's going to happen again.
No,
it didn't throw them off. What happened was the two crucial plays. The interception, that was the only thing. The two crucial plays in crunch time.
Our running game was pretty bad, too.
Yep. It sure was.
Yeah, but how can something like that before the game starts throw off a team so bad like that when you haven't even played
a season of
football?
Well, I think...
They're all professionals, right?
Yeah, but
there are a lot of inexperience on Winnipeg.
You haven't even played a down in football yet, though.
But
football is psychological too.
Take it to your advantage. Take it to your advantage. Don't let it get to you.
It is, but I'm gonna tell you like this. Really, if you think about it, both teams didn't play really good in the first and second half.
The only thing when
Drew Willie started coming out there and firing that ball 35, 40 yards downfield, Saskatchewan got scared because they thought they was about to lose. He was throwing that ball, and the receivers was catching that ball. So I'm not going to sit up and say it was a bad game, and they got outside the two crucial plays that made the game go Saskatchewan's way. That was it.
And experience, Mike.
No,
come on, Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan has far more experience, and that's a learning curve for Winnipeg to be on, and Drew Willey as well. You know, it's a learning curve.
There you go, Frank.
Right.
There you go.
Unfortunately,
you
Frank,
were
I think they
Willie's
probably did learn a lot, and tomorrow's going to be a real good game.
Yes, it is.
Hang on
is.
A second. Did I mention anything about the game tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I did.
But, I'm going tomorrow. So stop, Tammy.
But you know what, Frank?
Don't be doing high school stuff.
But...
Don't be nyan-nyaing me already, okay?
Trying to
the
psych you out, Frank.
It's working.
Right.
Shut up.
Now, if y'all want to talk
Argos
about personal performances, Willie had a good performance as far as the quarterback. He had some good yardage, good completions. He outplayed Durant, if you want to talk about a one-on-one thing. So that mentor versus the teacher crap, I don't look into that crap.
Well, no, I wouldn't
Amen,
call him that.
Mike.
But I think, Mike, that's a stretch. I think Durant showed something that's very important, is that he showed poise and he didn't make mistakes like Willie did.
He got 23 points. Big deal.
Huh.
14
off defense. 14
defense.
I know, it was a defense.
Really,
yeah.
Only got 9 points.
Yeah,
only,
the only thing
yeah,
I'm going
right,
to say about
that's
Durant,
right.
he didn't make any mistakes, and that's,
you know what,
that's
though,
as
guys?
Important as anything.
What Frank's saying is exactly right. And, you know, if you look at the numbers, the most important number is QB rating because that takes everything into consideration. Now, Drew Willey's QB rating was a few points behind Durant's this week if you actually look at the numbers. And it basically comes down to 3 interceptions and a lost fumble. And
right.
two of those turnovers resulted in 14 points. And you can put it heavily on Drew Willey, but at the same time, I mean, you're right.
Thing.
He's allowed to have a bad game.
And he still has less interceptions than Durant.
He actually
yeah,
doesn't.
He had one
the
bad
exact
game.
Same amount this
well,
year.
Well, he had one bad game that basically,
exact
you know.
Exact same amount.
Well, I'm really hoping he, you know,
what was it?
I hope
what
he shows his old
giveaway?
Self tomorrow.
What was the takeaway giveaway? 5-1? I'm trying to remember. Was it
5-1?
Yeah,
it was terrible.
5-1, wasn't it?
5-1,
So,
yeah.
you know, that's that, guys, that's what wins you
that's
football.
That's the game, yeah.
That's the game right there. You know, just the 2 touchdowns on defense alone, if Saskatchewan doesn't get those... Tammy and I are discussing with Kelly how good Winnipeg played against Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Beat them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Durant will never, ever amaze you with hundreds of yards in a game. Like, he's just not that type of quarterback, but he's not exactly a Kevin Glenn accuracy, ball control kind of guy, though, either. He's a bit of a tweener.
You know, all they want from Durant is to hand the ball off, make some passes. He has his safety valve back in Getzlaff. I know, Christopher, you're not a big fan of Getzlaff, but I happen to think that he made a couple of catches in that game that kept drives alive and also kept Winnipeg's offense off the field. And that's what you want, you know, from a receiver. And when he happens to be Canadian, that's a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about team play, and yeah. Well, you know what? I like the way Winnipeg played, but I also didn't like the way Winnipeg played. But that basically is the game in a nutshell, right? They had a, you know, it was Heckle and Jide. Heckle and Jide. Heckle and Hyde.
Willie's going to come back.
No,
he
hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still the same.
He had one bad game.
He's still
it's deep.
Same.
He's coming back tomorrow.
There you go. I happen to think that tomorrow the Argos offense is not going to score a single point, but their defense is going to get 3 touchdowns and it's going to win it for them.
I doubt that.
Brady's going to have a big game tomorrow.
Well, who's he going to throw the ball to? Who's he going to throw the ball to?
Yeah,
throw it to the punter. I don't care. He's going to have a good game.
Well, I hope he has
Bradwell. Well, I've been saying that since day one, and when he played for Edmonton, it's like he always did that against Calgary and whoever else he played against, and, you know, he's due. He's due.
I love he's the jersey I bought. I bought Ricky Ray jersey. That's the jersey that I wear proudly. So you know where my cards lie. Yeah, you know what? Tomorrow's Tuesday. We're going to have to talk about tomorrow's game. But first, let's finish with last week's games. And Saskatchewan, of course, the final was 23-17 over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And our next game is the Edmonton Eskimos. Well, I don't even know if it's fair to say against the Montreal Alouettes because, you know, they looked actually good at times. They were not, you know, they weren't that bad. They weren't that bad. I mean, you know, if Smith had a receiver, does anyone else agree with me that he played a far better game than his receivers did?
Yes.
Yes.
Barely, yes.
Barely. Well, he was still throwing the ball over their heads on a lot of occasions.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He overthrows a lot.
But there were at least four or five, if not six, balls that were directly in the hands in numbers. That the
for
receivers
sure
did not hang on to. And all they had to do was catch a couple of those. The score was 33-23. I mean, you know, it wouldn't have taken much, you know. And oh, man. And well, you know, the biggest play of the game was Ocho Cinco became 42.5. He got cut in half. Holy crap. Did he take a bell ringing hit?
Yep.
Well,
the thing is,
Frank, is Troy Smith is not starting the next game, so there you go.
Yeah, that's the one thing you missed in your intro there, Frank. Frank is playing.
Well, we had gamesmanship in Winnipeg. We're going to have brinksmanship in Montreal in the next game.
Bomb.
I guess.
Good luck with that.
The fans are going, why aren't they playing Tanner Marsh?
Well, because they got used to seeing him last year before Smith came. And he had a couple of good games last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
Put in Jeff Garcia. Why not? Throw him in there.
I think he will be after a while.
Do they have the rights to him, or do they have to trade or give him something to Calgary to get him in the Montreal uniform?
I have no idea.
Somebody answer the phone.
So.
So Edmonton looked really good pretty much the whole game.
Yeah.
Montreal looked good towards the end. Is there any hope in Montreal today? And sorry about missing about the Brink starting. But does anybody see any hope in Montreal? If you're a Montreal fan, what do you hang your hat on?
About maybe 3 or 4 wins.
Mm-hmm.
But how do they get them, Mike? How do they get the wins?
If y'all listen to, I can't remember who the guy that was doing the commentating of the game. They were talking about Jeff Garcia and what Montreal expects out of Trey Smith. And the comments that they said was Jeff Garcia said, "If I had to digest what they wanted Trey Smith to do."
Oh yeah,
I'll probably be playing the same way.
Oh,
there are too many guys, too many
too.
Guys, too many cooks. That was done again. There's too many cooks in the, too many cooks in the kitchen.
That's what he's going to work.
Garcia's going to work magic.
Yes, he is. I believe he is because. They even though they didn't get the win, they played. They came back. Man, I stopped watching it, but then I went back and started watching it a little bit. They played okay. The third, fourth quarter, it was okay. Showed a little improvement, but they need to keep the playbook simple. 5 yards out, 5 yards in. Go for a first down. Go for a bomb if you have the men open. If not, don't force it.
Isn't that? The formula that has made Willie successful, take what they give you. And they've been trying to force it in Montreal. They've been trying to fabricate something when all they have to do is just look at what the defense has given you and take it. It's all about reads, right?
Does anybody
maybe that's
know
why he's not
playing this weekend? Right. Is Chad playing this weekend? Anybody know any updates?
No, I don't think so.
I haven't heard anything.
Trey Smith is way more quarterback than they have receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's you know, it's too bad that he's going to – but you know what? It's a good thing that he sits down and you know, because if I were him, I'd be really upset with the receivers. Not because, yeah. you know, of anything. Just, you know, help me out, guys. You know, he's been pretty cool. He has not been, you know, one of those guys that, you know, he hasn't pulled that on the field. Oh, come on, why couldn't you have caught that? You know, look, he's been gung-ho with the guys. He's been a team player, and you can't ask much more than that from a quarterback going through what he's going through.
We're probably reading a little bit too much into this whole thing about Alex Brink starting
exactly.
right now. This might
well,
be,
that's what I'm saying.
This might be Jeff Garcia taking over, saying, okay, Troy, I want you to sit this one out. I want you to
right.
look at game speed, see what happens, and let's rip down your offense and make it really simple and come back next game and let's put something together for you. And
you're
just
exactly
get
right.
his head in the game. Because right now he's shell-shocked.
Oh, mm-hmm. and the way that game went, I think it's the best thing for him to sit down. You know,
you might even see Troy in the booth with Jeff watching from up above.
Oh, absolutely! I bet you that's what's going to happen. You're probably bang on right, Kelly. I mean that.
Yeah.
You know, the kid needs to get his confidence back, and he needs to see how crappy his team is, and that it isn't just him.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
Brink
exactly.
Because Brink isn't exactly the greatest quarterback in the history of the CFL either.
Tammy, can
that's
tell us.
Fruit.
Yeah. Oh, I thought. I don't.
Bring back the deal.
Yeah. I don't know.
What you think he's a great quarterback?
He's a bad taste in your mouth.
No.
Kelly.
Pardon? What'd you say?
He's a bad taste in your mouth. Eh? It kind of tastes like Joe Mack.
Yeah.
You bet. Same kind of taste.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Alex Brink is, I don't know. They're not, I feel sorry for them.
We haven't really talked about Edmonton. They've been pretty consistent this year. You know, they were the best 4-14 team last year, as Christopher loves to say. They're playing consistently well. Chris Jones has them playing a good defense, and you know, Riley is he's really starting to pick his spots. You know, I know he's like, what is he, 6'2 or 6'3 and 240 or something, so he's a big kid, so you know, he can take a lot of hitting, but he seems to be pacing himself a little more than he did last year, which I think is really smart.
Well, he had no choice last year. He had no team.
No.
Fair enough.
He had to put that team on his back and run with it. This year it's a little more. It's a little different. He's got a team around him. He's got a supporting cast, and he's doing a damn good job. Edmonton is for real.
I think they're for real too. They're mm-hmm. not as flashy and dash. You know, they're not as flashy as Winnipeg, but I think they're on a par with Winnipeg in as far as the growth curve that they're on. You know, with Winnipeg this year and Edmonton, I think they're pretty nip and tuck. You know, they're pretty close in development. Well, and you can't ask more than that for those two teams. You know, their fans have been waiting for a little while.
Edmonton didn't have as much to go as far to go as Winnipeg did.
That's true.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. I agree with you 100%. They just didn't
show. They were a great 4-14 team.
I've heard that somewhere. Where did I hear that? Oh, yeah, from you. Actually, I said the same thing last year, and they were. And it's too bad that they had such a bad year. But I don't think they're as flashy as Winnipeg. You know, and I think that's, you know, they're more workmanlike, you know, than Winnipeg is. And I attribute that to the quarterbacks. Riley is more of a lunch pail guy. Willie is a little more of a finesse quarterback. And I think their teams are reflective of their style of play.
Do you know that there's only a 7-pound weight difference between the Riley and Willie?
No, I didn't know that. I would have thought.
Yeah, and to me, Willie looks so much skinnier.
Yeah, Willie is probably an inch and a half to 2 inches taller than Riley, and
he's
like
6'4".
Like Tammy has highlighted, I think he's a little bit more scrawny, but he's a big man. I've stood next to Drew Willie, and
he can run.
He makes me look tiny.
He can run.
Yeah.
He can run.
He can
run.
I thought he was hurt there in that game to regress.
So his hand. I thought his hand was done.
I got a short little audio clip here for us.
Listen to this.
6-5 is on this play as well, but they're not going to get it off. God, kick, second sack of the night.
There's Drew Willie's size really paying off for him.
Because he got sacked?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
That works for him?
If you notice one thing about Drew, he seems to have learned a little bit from Durant. He seems to be able to shrug guys off of his shoulders, but the second he was grasped around the waist in these first 5 weeks of the season, he's done for. His legs are not as strong as a lot of the quarterbacks in the league. But like he does have the ability to shrug off a shoulder tackle, that's for sure.
And that's where I think Caleros was the big thing in Hamilton. I think when I see Caleros, I think of more of Durant than any other quarterback.
Yeah,
he has that leg,
for sure.
That leg strength, that lower body strength, which allows him to not just elude, defenders, but counter their whatever they're using to try and drag him down. He seems to have the strength to stay standing. And that's one of Durant's strengths, sure is. So Edmonton, Montreal, 33-23. Hopefully with these coaching changes, hopefully with a sit-down for Smith, hopefully Garcia will, be the quarterback coach that's been missing through the season. As an Argo fan, though, I'm not really in a hurry to watch Montreal straighten things out. But still, as a CFL fan, I'd like to see it because Montreal's a great franchise, and it'd be great to see the East, win more than, 20% of their games. That would be
nice. They're 2-18 against the West.
That's even worse. That's almost 10%.
So I have a question about this game.
Please.
Just almost when the game was over, we took an Edmonton Eskimo off the field on a stretcher. Does anybody know who it was and how he's doing? I haven't seen anything about
him. Forget his name, but he's fine. He is fine.
Okay.
I forget his name, though, too, but I read that he was okay, but, not going to be played this week, but they were just going to watch him, observe him for a while.
Was that not another one of those injuries where a leg gets dragged under a heavy body?
No, this was a head injury.
Oh, it was a head injury?
A head injury.
It was his neck, yeah.
Yeah, head, neck, shoulders, whatever. I mean, it was so bad, they had taped his feet together, taped his knees together so that he wasn't moving.
Wow.
They were on the field a long time.
Yes, they were.
It delayed the game.
Well, there you go. Well, hopefully he's better, and I'm sorry I don't remember who it was. Let's move on to the next game where it was the cat fight. And it was a pretty interesting cat fight. BC came out of the gate in a hurry. Hamilton found its legs, even took a lead for a short time. I like this game. I really enjoyed watching this game.
You, Frank. His name was Eric Samuel. Sorry.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks, Tammy.
Sure. Sorry, Frank.
No worries. You want to go last, Christopher? Steve, did you watch this game? Did you watch this game, Steve? And what did you think if you did?
All right, which game are we talking about here?
BC
Hamilton.
I was
away from the second. Hello?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the game? Did you watch the game between BC and Hamilton?
I caught a bit of it, but I didn't catch the end of it.
Well, that was the best part of the game.
Yeah, unfortunately. I don't even know why I missed it. Oh, I had a family barbecue. That's why.
No worries. It's okay. Okay, let's
I was good for my picks, I can tell you that.
There you go. Kelly, did you watch the game? How did you view it?
I did, and I thought it was one of the more entertaining games of the week.
It was the most entertaining game of the week.
Yeah, not usually looking for BC players to endear themselves to me, but I really, their receiving core is growing on me in a season where it was supposed to be all thunder and lightning out of the backfield. Really, I've been most impressed with Glenn's ability
Arsenal.
To get the ball
in Arsenal.
Arsenal is amazing.
Isn't he?
Ionucci.
Taylor is Arsenal 2.0.
Yeah, well, I think Courtney Taylor is the next best guy on BC, personally. And then Gore is finally finding his form. Yeah, I think BC's, you know, killer at receiver right now. Probably the hottest team in the league at receiver.
And the other thing,
three guys in the top six.
Anybody else want to talk about BC? How about you, Tammy? Well, we'll save Christopher for last. This game.
Oh, I think BC was great. I was, of course, I was cheering for Hamilton because, you know, we wanted the West to lose,
same
but that's not happening. But anyway, moving on.
Sorry, you're so disappointed.
I think BC's improving every week.
I think the Tie Cats are too. Mike, what did you think of this game?
I enjoyed this game from beginning to end. Hamilton was making comebacks, but man, BC, they were just playing on all cylinders, and I don't think BC is going to stop rolling. And Kevin Glenn played one of the best games in a long time. I think what he had over 400 yards passing, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yep, and he looked very confident.
He was getting the balls to the receivers, and he was getting to this side arm. And then what got me was when I seen the old Detroit vet scramble for a touchdown. Oh, man. You know Kevin's been having a good day if he's going to run for a TD.
There you go.
And all I got to say about that is wait till – if you think you like the receivers, not Kelly, wait till August 24th, that is, and y'all going to really love him then.
Oh, for sure. And you know what, Mike? Is when I saw Glenn rumble in for that touchdown, first guy I thought of was you. I was like, boy, jogging in for the TV.
Yeah, he ran in for that touchdown. I was like, oh, Kevin Glenn will have him a good game. I mean, you know, the offense, I think when BC did trade for him, I think it was a good trade. But I think Kevin Glenn had to get in line with the offense scheme that BC had, and that's why he struggled.
And the offensive line.
And offensive line because, you know, it was new to him. And, you know, being on the West Coast, I think they run the West Coast offense, if I'm not mistaken. So he had to get in line with the offense, the receivers, the offensive line, you know, get that playbook down. And once he got it down, I mean, it's like the vet that he is. He came, he played, and like Christopher said, they need to give him the 500, but I think they're going to be over 500 with a win this weekend.
There you go, 4-3. Schmitty, what do you think of this game? Did you watch this game, or were you busy watching the replay of Calgary?
Yeah, I did that many times. Anyways, about 2.5 quarters I watched, and, you know, what can I say about Kevin Glenn? I mean, just unbelievable. Just, a guy, you know, he just seems like he could play till 50, you know. And of course, like I agree with Tammy, I mean, I wanted Hamilton to win because of the BCs in the West. But you know what? You know, it's just Schmidt happens, right? And you go from there. And, but yeah, they do got a good team. They really do. So it's and Hamilton, like she said too, is upcoming, and they might get first.
They're playing
and
better.
I picked them last. So you know, who knows?
Can I ask you guys?
Sure.
Can I just ask an opinion on you guys when it comes to the Hamilton quarterback? Sorry, I forget how to pronounce his last name.
Lefever. Just think of having a cold.
Yeah.
Lefever.
Well, now that he's playing, there seems to be an improvement, in my opinion, with the Ticats since he's come into being the quarterback now. Do you think Hamilton might be better off using him as a starter? What's your opinion on this, guys?
Yep. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This should have been the answer all along.
I have to play devil's advocate. I think we haven't seen enough of Kolaros. I think he deserves that same grace you're going to give Kevin Glenn out in BC. Get used to that line. Get used to the receivers. Get used to, you know, giving, you know, let's say a good 16 quarters behind center and then see what Zach Kolaros can do. But, you know, right now, Lefevre's going to be the guy for the rest of the year, I do believe.
Yeah, especially
it looks that way, doesn't it?
You know,
I was wondering
what
his
thing about
status is about coming back myself. I haven't heard anything.
Sixth game. And he should be coming at the end of that soon.
He should be, but
the thing about that.
This week.
Right.
He's going to start practicing this week. But the thing about that is, you know, that Calero struggled coming out the gate. Now, the thing, what Hamilton is going to look at, and, you know, if you're a GM or a coach, you're going to look at the same thing. Now, if you put Calero's back in the starting lineup and he continues to struggle and Hamilton starts taking a downslide, downwards, and you bring Lefevre back in and then Hamilton started slowly making that climb back up to the top, next year there's not going to be no quarterback controversy. No contract is safe in the CFL, and you hear it first, Calero will be cut, and you heard it first.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. When
I heard it second by me.
I don't think that you guys are giving him enough credit. I agree with Kelly in the fact that Calero came into a team where he was on his back more than he was standing upright. So it was those first few games were not Calero's fault in any way, shape, or form, and then he got hurt because – he wasn't getting the protection. So, you know, I just do not think we're giving him enough credit.
And don't forget,
but you know what,
Caleros's asset as a quarterback is equal to Lefevre's. They're both guys that almost depend on the run more than the pass, on their own running instead of the pass.
Well, Lefevre can run.
Yeah, so can Calero.
Yeah.
Run Lefevre.
And you know what? Lefevre, one thing that Dan did do this summer was work on his arm strength. He hit the weight room because he looks a little bigger. So his arm is looking very good. Yeah, and his arm is looking pretty good with the deep ball. So, I mean, and like Chris said, we haven't given him a chance.
Both.
But you got to remember, man, this is the CFL. And if you can't
both
produce,
quarterbacks are young. Well, both of them are young. Mike, I mean, neither of them has a long history. So, you know, I can't believe that Austin felt that he could go with two young quarterbacks. You know, but, you know, they might be able to profit from it next year. To me, it didn't make sense the way they handled it. I don't think so anyway. I know Calero is a great quarterback and all that stuff, but the team needs some sort of consistency, and I think even Hamilton fans will tell you that maybe it was a mistake letting Burris go.
Yeah,
it was. You need a veteran
back
there. You need a veteran. Need a veteran.
Hindsight 2020.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All the time?
All the time, my friend. All the time.
All the time. It's always 2020.
Is Gable
But you know
hurt?
What?
Yes, he is.
I was about to ask the same thing. I was about to ask
the
same thing.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was still out.
He's wearing a walking boot.
Yes, he is.
So you'll see, you know, more distress for Hamilton this week. He's a huge part of their offense. Even though he hasn't really been up till this point in the season, we haven't seen them have success. And he's, you know, the way he's been playing has been a big part of that.
Always.
You know, he
last
needs to, he needs to have over 100 yards a game for Hamilton to have success, or not necessarily him, but the Hamilton backfield anyway has got to have a rushing game, and
well,
they
when,
just don't
when
have that right now.
But you know the part that I find amusing is that the quarterback leads the team in rushing, and the rusher leads the team in pass receiving.
No doubt.
Right.
What is
that's
that?
A good point.
What
that's
is
a great
that?
Point.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Hey, but you know what? I want to get back to something real quick.
Frank?
That I don't know if y'all guys ever noticed this, and I just want to make a statement because we forgot to mention this guy in the last game that helped Saskatchewan. Man, do y'all see how big Joe Mess looks back there in that backfield?
He's just huge. He's a mountain of a man. And you know, one thing I can add to that is anybody else notice that Saskatchewan is on pace for more rushing yards this year than last year with Corey Sheets?
Yes.
Well, that's because they've got three running backs.
That's right.
There's fresh legs there all the time.
Yards.
There's
fresh
legs there all the time.
We've already got 850. That's amazing at this point of the year.
Well, good
Jerome
for them.
Jerome Messon looked like the Incredible Hulk standing back there, man. I was like, where's Durant? He covered him up, man. He's so big. Why you
saying it? Somebody was trying to say something, and they were interrupted. Everybody quiet. Who didn't get a chance to say something? Somebody wanted to say something. Was it you, Steve, or what?
Was
okay, go ahead.
So I got in. I'm always okay.
Oh, you're okay then? Okay. How about you?
I
go
was
ahead.
Talking Smith. About the quarterbacks.
We just got off the game and went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
So BC, another thing we have to talk about if we're talking about BC is the resurgence of this defense. I mean, these guys have come from worst in the league over the first two games to best in the league, really, like over the last two games. I mean, I know the Stamps were giving it to them for the season so far, and that's fair. But BC has played equally as good as Saskatchewan's defense or better, and they were garbage as far as I was concerned for the first 2 weeks of the year. Christopher, what do you think? You happy with them?
Well, of course I am.
You
were
happy
first
with
them before. Do I get to go in the game now? Do I?
Yes, go.
Yes.
Okay, first off, I want to give kudos to Hamilton as the most improved team in the last week or so.
Yeah,
they played ball, they gave it all, they left it on the field, they did everything. It just wasn't enough.
True.
DC played a great game, in my opinion, with the exception we had five key players that went down and are gone. Couple for the season. Harbeck is tore his MCL and is gone. Andrew Harris is not day-to-day. He's probably going to go on the one-game injury list at least a couple of weeks. He's going to miss at least 2 weeks, I think. And that's a huge part of our offense that just vaporized. But that being said, Stefan Logan and Rolly Lambala really stepped it up in that game. And I was really impressed with Rolly's play. He got called a secret weapon, number 46, by the coach, because you forget about Rolly in the backfield as a blocker all the time. I want to give kudos to the line judge for the pass interference on Emmanuel Arsenault.
Yep.
Good call. There definitely should have been a flag on that one. He took him out long before the ball arrived. Great game. I mean, of course it was from my perspective. The Lions were victorious. But, you know, we lost a lot of key players, and we didn't play up to our normal standards of what we should be, but we were still too much to handle for the Ticats. And that was a warm and fuzzy feeling for me, is that, you know we're getting better. We are getting better. And that was an off game, and we still took it to them. So I think they may be in last place in the West, but that doesn't mean much considering it's only 2 points.
Agreed. Okay. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the last game to be played, the Ottawa Redbacks and the Calgary Stampeders. And because the show's on Wednesday, and we're going to talk about the Argos and Tammy. I mean, the Argos and Winnipeg.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's aspirin on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries?
I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys 4 downs to get 10 yards? We only need 3 up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
You know, they give us one just in case.
I love 4 downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know, that would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh. Can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
Wow.
You know?
A whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again? That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little. CFL, I gotta watch it. Go Canada.
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means? Sweet, diddly, jack, squat! Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it!
Well, in our final game, the Ottawa Red Blacks were in Calgary, and they lost 38-17. Unfortunately, there was no comeback in that game for Ottawa. And I guess we'll save Stormy for last, and we'll start with Stevie. Stevie, did you get a chance to watch this game?
Yeah, I got to watch that game. Was it a game? You said Ottawa went to Calgary, you said, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty sad, unfortunately. I think I don't know if this has been an issue lately, but some of the calls have been coming from the sideline. Has there been some issues with that? It seems like it is. He just seems to keep gesturing. You got to get my calls to me quicker and everything. I don't know if that's been an issue or not, but it seems like that a couple of times in a few different games that I've seen. I don't know.
You know, I think that's a Burris thing.
You think that's a Burris thing?
Yeah, that's a Burris thing. If I remember last year, it was the same thing. He had the same issues. He seemed, I'm not saying he was confused, but he seemed to not be happy with the message he was getting. Now, we all know, hindsight, again, 2020, we know Austin probably already gave him the deepest impression that he wasn't going to be with the team. In fact, if I remember correctly, somebody mentioned that Burris, halfway through last year, told Lefevre that, you know, this is going to be your team next year. And he told Lefevre early that, you know, he wasn't coming back. So, you know, I'm not sure. That's the one thing I don't like about Burris is that he doesn't have a poker face. Am I making any sense with what I'm saying? He doesn't seem to, I don't know, he doesn't seem to hide his feelings very well.
I see what you're saying.
He's a drama queen.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, in that direction.
Anyone else? Selfie lady friend. I think you might say queen after that.
Well.
Well, he might be a cross-dresser now, but he wasn't in Calgary.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I saw that picture, now that you mention it. Okay, I get it. All right. For a minute there, I was worried, and now I'm less worried, and now I'm back to being worried again.
Sound like that lumberjack song again.
There we go. So this game was, you know, Calgary's to win, Calgary's to lose. You know, I don't think we can talk about Calgary's defense because I don't think Calgary's defense really even broke a sweat.
Mm-hmm. No, they weren't challenged.
It sure didn't look like
Keon Raymond. Keon Raymond was balling as usual. And,
well, come on, that was
no
pass interference call. Come on now.
I didn't think so, really, honestly.
No, that was just like, I give you a kiss. Okay, you throw a flag. Like, really?
Yeah, like,
just
totally.
Stupid. The refs are just retarded these days. I don't know what the heck it is up with this league.
No, it's the rule change. It's the rule change. It, you know, being able to question that call, you know, raises the profile of that part of the game. I mean, this year,
I'm surprised he didn't throw the flag on that one. That was just retarded.
Well, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Calgary had one, or Ottawa had one against Calgary, which wasn't one either, so, you know.
Well. Tammy, you got a view on this game? Did it cross your radar?
I think Calgary's offense has been very uneventful. And I think against Ottawa, I think it was one of Mitchell's better games. I think he, what was the name of that guy? Fuller? Is it Fuller?
Jeff?
He had over 100 yards. I think he connected with – I think he connected better than he has in the past. I think the last three games stunk.
Well, a Bo Levi Mitchell does not have – Bo Levi Mitchell does not have he hasn't had a chance to look consistently good because he hasn't played consistently. This is his first year of playing, you know, multiple games back to back, and
right.
and even his coach is looking for a little more consistency when he says for the offense. And I think Storm, you know what I'm talking about, because your coach isn't 100% happy with the offense.
He's never happy, but anyways, I agree with you. Yeah.
And when you're unhappy with the offense, we all know who carries the mail when it comes to the offense, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, you
for
know.
For sure.
You know, that's the guy. That's the guy in the CFL. That's the guy, you know. He's the guy that's got to carry the mail for you. And it hasn't been going that way with Calgary, and that's why I agree with Stormy that actually Calgary's defense is the best. At least their team has benefited far more because of the defense than any other team, if I can defend Schmidt's opinion of the defense. And that's why, Stormy, I say that Calgary's defense is the best in the league, because they've made a difference in the games that they've played. Their record is a direct reflection of their defense, not their offense.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's not like we're 1-5 or 5-1, right? There you go.
Right. And the offense hasn't been anything to brag about. So if you're 5-1,
well,
how did you get there? Defense.
The last game was pretty good. So I mean, you know, it's getting there. So hopefully it'll come around even more. But you know, you got to play some more challenging teams here and see what happens, right?
Yeah, you got to play out west.
They're much better this game than they have been.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For sure. But and they should have been. You know, it was Ottawa. If I can jump in now, I'll just say that
yeah, go ahead.
It was a game. It was a game, and you know, we all saw what happened. It was a bit of a blowout and everything, but you know, I finally woke up this week and just about picked Bo Levi for my quarterback on the TSN fantasy pool. If it weren't for the fact that Ricky Ray is starting in two games this week, Bo Levi would be my quarterback this week, and I also picked Jabari Arthur. I think he's headed on the way up, and he was a reasonable cost. And I like what Calgary's doing offensively this week. I don't know if I'll like what they're doing next week, but we'll see.
Well, when you have a coach like Huff, Coach Huff, the guy's an experienced coach. I mean, he knows. He understands the game.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Wally Bono in BC. I'd love to say the same thing about Scott Milanovic, but again, this is all about experience. And as a head coach, Milanovic doesn't have the same kind of experience those two guys, the aforementioned guys. And their teams are good because they know exactly what to do and how to make the CFL work, you know. And there aren't many coaches like that in the CFL right now. A lot of them are rookies. A lot of them are new. First, second year, third year, you know.
Yeah, it's true. For sure.
I mean, even your guy in Saskatchewan, you know, 3 years,
yeah.
I think he's been coached, right?
That's right. Yeah, this is his fourth season third season, as a head coach. Yeah.
So, you know, Bono and Huff are you know, sorry, I shouldn't say Bono. I'm talking about GMs now, really. I still think, I find it hard to believe that Benavides is the coach of the team. I don't know why.
Me too.
I don't know why. Why is that? Help me out here, Chris, because when
I'm having trouble with it myself. He wasn't my choice.
I don't know why. But anyway, okay, so Ottawa is starting to look like an expansion team, sadly. All that talk about we said it, I said it. You know, I felt that they had a real good chance to be very competitive, and it just isn't happening. Why? Is it because they've got too many weaknesses at receiver, in my opinion? They've got a great running back. They've got a great quarterback. Why the heck is the offense sputtering so much?
Okay, hang on, Frank, just for a second here.
they're not sputtering any worse than Montreal, Hamilton, or Toronto.
Or Saskatchewan.
You know, we're just not, okay? The Eastern Division just, it blows right now. So you talk once we start doing some interdivision plays, and you tell me whether Ottawa still sucks, because I think they're still one of the powerhouses in the Eastern Division. It doesn't take much, but I still think they're one of the stronger teams.
Okay, well,
I agree.
It's hard to say right now when you got four teams at 1-5. I know Toronto's 2-4. I just threw it out there.
Yeah, I noticed. They are 2-4.
Just take another six games and go from there and see what happens after the next six games, and that should be a really good perspective on it.
they've all played Western teams here and been pummeled.
We can't beat the West. Then what are you going to do?
Well, the Argos are playing two Western teams in 6 days, so they're not going to get a respite by playing the East by your definition. So, you know, they're going through the grill. They're going through the meat grinder in the next couple of games.
They're now 2-6.
You know, so
I'm going to use Chris's words. Chris is bang on what he said. Once the East teams stop playing each other, Ottawa is going to be one of the top ones on the East. You're going to really see how bad all these other teams is on the East.
Yeah.
Cause they playing against Western teams, man. I mean, come on, man. Look at the East's record. It speaks for itself.
Well, of course it
Toronto's
does.
Toronto's still going to finish in first in the East.
No, they're not.
Yes,
I think
going to do well.
Ricky Ray out of the picture. You just can't. Period.
No, you're right, but I don't see him going first. I might see them being second.
Ricky Ray is a team of them, and there's nobody to toss a ball to right now.
The Coombs was the light at the end of the, at the tunnel, and now it's a freight train because he's injured and gone probably for a better part of the season. The earliest he'll come back is the end of the year.
And same with Owens.
Well, Owens looked good at the picnic I went to. He ran up the stairs, so that's a good sign.
Yeah. Running upstairs is a hell of a lot different.
Every team goes through injuries, right? I mean,
we had five in one game.
Back, right? No. So.
One thing about the BC Lions here, because I'm going to pick on my team for a second. We're 2 points out of first place. We still haven't got our number one quarterback on the field this year.
But is he your number
Calgary
one quarterback?
Number one,
is the question that I
running
have.
Back on the, on, Calgary doesn't have their number one running back on the field. So what are we playing?
He's been on the field all year except for what? A couple of three games?
Who, Cornish?
Yeah.
He's
been out
half
for
the game in the first game of the season.
Was it the first game?
Or second?
Yeah. No.
I think it was the second, wasn't it?
First game, Montreal, Calgary. First game. And that stupid prick. Well, sorry for that
word. Isn't it easier to replace a running back than it is a quarterback?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to have the whole package. That's what I'm trying to say.
No. Nobody. I don't think anybody here is going to question the fact that Cornish is the best running back in the league. Especially because he's Canadian. Because he's Canadian, that helps a lot.
I don't care if he's Canadian or American or Chinese.
No. It's
Chinese,
not.
That
wasn't a backhanded.
The point is, but the point is, Franco.
No.
The point is, it's the whole team effort.
Yeah. And the running back can be replaced. If we've seen nothing this year, Gable's going to be gone.
Too, so.
What about McDuffie in Hamilton? All these guys, running backs that are coming in, and Saskatchewan has three. I mean, please, they have guys. They have guys with a deep pedigree. I mean, we're not just talking running backs that surprised everybody. Messam's not a surprise. Charles is not a surprise. These aren't
Charles
guys.
Allen.
Charles
Allen
was
a surprise.
Yeah, Mallet's out now. So, just everybody has their injuries on their teams. And it's just.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's how you replace the players with, right?
When Lule comes back, the West is going to get even tighter.
Oh, yeah.
How can it get tighter?
I don't know. It's going to be painful.
Oh, it can.
It's
all the time prefers at the end of the year.
BC will just distance ourselves from everybody else.
Oh. Oh, please.
If you look
somebody's got to have fun.
If you look at the standings in the West today, you have Winnipeg top with Edmonton and Calgary in second place, right, with 5-1 records. Okay,
technically Calgary's in first place, so I just...
No, Winnipeg's in second. Winnipeg's in third.
Winnipeg's in third.
All right.
Yeah, because it's 5-1, 5-1, 5-2.
Those top three teams right now interchanging, I could see the West finishing opposite of what it is today, with BC last place finishing in first, Saskatchewan finishing in second. I mean, you could see Winnipeg finishing in second. You could see Edmonton finishing in second. But what I'm saying is BC does have a lot of room to climb, and I think we all agree that they'll do it.
Well, it's all up in the air, though. That's the thing.
You know, everything looks really dark for a time everywhere. I mean, after game two, BC didn't look very impressive, and things changed in a hurry. The same thing's happening in Hamilton, I think. I think they've made, you know, Lefevre has taken that team and, you know, and done a pretty good job with them. Yeah, they're on their way back. But I don't understand why we're so concerned. I'm not concerned for the Argos and all this talk about, you know, how the Argos are done and the East sucks and all this kind of stuff. It can change pretty quick. And Bruce John Inch will tell you himself that he thinks Hamilton will finish first. And, you know, as he's listening, he's reminding me that the Argos suck.
Hey, you know what, Frank? I want to give a shout out to Bruce.
A couple of points there. Because Hamilton probably will finish first, and the Argos do suck.
Oh. Right now? That's fine. But I got to tell you, Chad Owens and I are on the same page. We really don't care right now how things are. We're just looking for a ticket to the playoffs. And once that is punched, anything can happen. And Stevie Richardson and I will be sitting somewhere enjoying the Grey Cup that the Argos will be in. Right, Stevie?
That's right. Making noise
and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know, we'll be there. I got faith in the team.
Yeah, and Stevie will buy a 102nd Grey Cup shirt.
Did you guys
buy another shirt to buy, too.
Exactly.
Did you guys read the article on
buy another hat.
On divisions?
On divisions?
On the possible. Dwayne Ford, who I actually don't like from TSN, he wrote a really good article on the breakdown of the divisions and why we have divisions and why we should not have divisions in the West and East division any longer. And he had some very, very compelling arguments to his thesis here. And I was really impressed with the way it was written.
Two best teams should play in the Grey Cup. Isn't that
the
bottom line?
And the two top teams should get a bye.
There you go.
Right?
Well, one plays six, two plays five, three plays four.
No. One and two sit out. One and two sit out, and then three, four, five, and six have it out. Three with six, probably four with five.
Yeah, and I thought about that too. Those two should have a bye, yes, but yeah.
It should be three and six, and four and five.
And four and five. Yeah, you're right. Same thing. Just like hockey. Well, no,
like
hockey changed it now. Hockey changed it now. Now they've created a whole different beast.
I don't watch hybrid hockey.
I have to say some girls and boys here that, you know what, it's been a funny season injury-wise, penalty-wise, teams-wise.
Division-wise.
Is anybody in all these nine teams, anybody could finish in first place. It's just been weird.
Or, even better, anybody could win the Grey Cup.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put that on the East, though.
Well, remember you said that.
It's highly possible. that an Eastern team can win the Grey Cup.
It's
very easy.
Because there's going to be an Eastern team in the Grey Cup. So the odds are there that it can happen.
Yeah,
we just don't see it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like a reality.
What I'm afraid of is another year of two Western teams.
They're there.
That's all. That's all that matters.
They have to be there. I mean, someone's got to.
But that's
win,
what Christopher was saying about the Ford story, is that he's saying. And in fact, if you were listening to the games, what's his name? Anyway, he was saying he'd rather have the top six teams in the playoffs, none of this East-West stuff. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that, and it has merit.
Well, right now in the East, all you have to do is not finish last. You don't have to be successful. You don't have to win the division. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is not be last.
No, you got to be in the middle of the pack of the East. You got to be the upper middle.
Well, right now because of the crossover,
you
got to
finish second.
Right?
You got to finish second.
So here's another theory on the crossover that I want to throw out there to you guys. Okay, so as it stands right now, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg are in the playoffs, right?
Right.
And Saskatchewan is in fourth place and would be the crossover team, okay?
Yep.
Now, crossovering into the East Division right now would be the easiest route to the Grey Cup for Saskatchewan. What if the option was given to Winnipeg as to whether they wanted to cross over or not, whether they wanted to go up as the third-place team in the West, or would they like to cross over into the East, and then Saskatchewan would take the other position, whichever it is.
That would be tantamount to what just happened to Winnipeg with Saskatchewan when Saskatchewan ran on the field. The last thing you want to do is say, we would rather play them, because you don't want to play them after saying that, in my opinion. You don't want to tell a team that prefer to play you.
But what you're saying there is
the fourth place
team may get an easier route to the Grey Cup. Should that not option be allowed to the other team, the third place team? Neither one of them is going to get a home playoff game, so it really doesn't matter which division they play in.
I agree with you, I agree with you, but it's the same thing as when your wife says to you, do I look good in this dress? You lose no matter what, because if she doesn't look good and goes out, you're in trouble. And if you tell her she doesn't look good, you're in trouble. So it's a lose-lose. That's essentially, as far as I'm concerned, the parallel with a team saying, I would rather play Hamilton than play Edmonton. I mean, the Argos. Doesn't matter.
My wife looks hot no matter what she wears. So
But you're going against that theory. You're going against that theory. You're saying you're willing to tell somebody they ain't so hot, and you don't tell somebody that because that makes them hotter than hot.
That's right, Frank.
Yeah, I would take Calgary. If the season ended right now, I'd take Calgary in a crossover in a heartbeat. If the season ended today, I would take Calgary in a heartbeat over there.
Why would you? I mean, you're in first place with the bye. Why don't you just sit it out?
No, but I'm just saying. I'm not saying with the bye. I'm saying a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the end of the season started now, I'm not just saying because Calgary's 5-1. I'm saying Calgary was whatever 3-2, or 3-3, whatever sort of thing. I would take them as a crossover right now. And if the playoffs started, I wouldn't mind. How many West teams wouldn't want to go over the crossover right now?
Oh, yeah, every one of them.
All of them would.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I think, Frank, what
you were trying to say is that the Eastern team, who the Western team says, oh, I'd rather play that team in the East.
I would fire them
that
up.
That team is really going to get fired up, yeah.
Oh, big time.
But I don't think it's going to do any good.
See, that's where we disagree, Christopher.
We do. Because right now, I don't think there's an Eastern team that can rally up at this
there's a lack of health. There's a lack of experience at quarterback in Hamilton. Ottawa, not enough experience, and it's starting to look like, maybe because they're playing the West, they look like an expansion team. You know, so, yeah.
Montreal.
Taking the,
Just
well, we don't even have to talk about. We talked about Montreal ad nauseum today, and we all know that the East is in trouble right now. But we're only this is week 7 coming up.
Right, but how do you see them getting better? What are they going to do? Are we looking for cuts from the NFL?
No,
what's going to bring these teams together?
There is no.
They're going to play each other, and they're
going to
get a better record. That's not going to make them a better team.
There is no formula. You know, anybody who thinks that you just, you know, add A, B, C, and then you have a great CFL team, there's a lot of breaks you got to get. A lot of good things got to happen. A lot of the decisions you make aren't as brilliant as they look later. Like a McDuffie thing, you know, looks Austin and the Ticats look like geniuses. But you know what? There's three other guys they probably would have taken before McDuffie, but McDuffie's proven to be an exciting player, you know? The positions the Argos are in trouble in, it's because of receivers and a lack of experience in receivers that they have, and they don't have the depth, and it's hurting them.
Yeah.
You know, Hamilton is in the same boat. You know, their lack of experience is biting them in the behind.
Mm-hmm. The problem with the Eastern Division is that they're not being forced to get better. In the West, Edmonton and Winnipeg had to get better. They had to build a team if they wanted to play football in the Western Division, right? They're out of the playoffs last year and not even close. They had to get better. In the East, nobody's forcing anybody to get better. They're all mediocre.
I think it's a perfect
And as long
point.
As they're all mediocre, there's no desire, no need to get better. All they have to do is make the playoffs and go for a run because on any given Sunday, anything can happen.
That's why you bring in some players, and you bring in some players, and just like Huffnagel, he is, you bring in players, and if they don't do the job, get them the heck out, right? But they listen to Huff. It has a lot to do with coaching, too, but you know what? You put a player in, he doesn't do the job, get him out, replace him with somebody else, period, done.
End of story.
And if he doesn't do it, next person. You know, you have to be strict, and the East, I agree with you, doesn't have that mentality.
But if you heard what Christopher said, the fact remains that there isn't the desperation in the East that has existed in the West the past few years. And, you know, competition breeds competition. It's just a natural order of things.
Yeah. I mean, we're 4-3 and last place.
You're
2-4
in
first place.
And we're worth it.
it's a freaking joke, man. It really is.
It is what it is. And you know what? With this East-West thing, guys, let's be realistic here. It's a malaise that exists in sports right across the board. There is not a league in sports that doesn't have a dominant West picking on a weak East. There is not a sport like right now. Basketball, the NBA, the East sucks. The West is the powerhouse, you know? In hockey, it's the same thing. And why is that? I have a theory. It's a very simple one. It's a lot easier to play in small towns, earn the same paycheck you do that you would in a big city, and don't have to put up with the BS that being in a big city involves. You know, in Toronto, we make a big deal about not enough people out there. The team's not loved that much. In Montreal, well, if they don't win, nobody's going to go watch them. Ottawa's a brand-new team, so, you know. And Hamilton is another Eastern team. In the West, you know, it's a different mentality. It breeds success in the West. The lack of pressure breeds success. As much as Rider fans would like to think that there's a lot of pressure, but it's nothing compared to in the East. In sports, New York, Boston, Toronto, you know, it is what it is. It's the only constant. All the Eastern teams suck in the pros. Once you start making everybody earn the same amount of money, the advantage the East had is gone. It's gone.
Frank, can I ask you something, Frank?
Sure.
When was the last time, and I've been watching football for many years, but, I mean, when was the last time you've seen a weird season like this right off the bat like this? It's been a long time.
That's right. Probably never happened. Probably never happened. You know, guys like Christopher will make it sound like it's a normal course of events. But last year, the Argos had a pretty good record and didn't make it to the Grey Cup.
Yep.
You know, they didn't have a bad record last year. They were better than teams in the West. They beat a lot of teams in the West at home last year. So,
we
you know.
Broke a, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
The
first
road?
Team to win four games on the road. You know, for us anyway. So, you know, now that we're talking to, like, you know, I don't mean to disagree with you, Christopher, because overall you're right, but where you're wrong is this is not what happened last year. So don't try to portray it like this is the East and the way it normally is, because it isn't true. It just isn't true.
But are you sure?
Well, I think the Argos had a pretty good record last year.
You sure they had lots of wins, but it was interdivisional.
They won in the West, for God's sake.
Who?
Argos.
They beat Saskatchewan at home.
Calgary at home.
No,
Winnipeg
Calgary
at home.
Calgary. Toronto beat Calgary. Calgary beat Toronto in Toronto.
Maybe you guys were all being pussy, but we weren't.
Oh, geez.
On the schedule.
Remind me again, where
anyway,
were you at the Grey Cup? Where was
BC
during the Grey Cup? Where was BC during the Grey Cup? Oh, yeah,
we got taken out. Let's not go there because we'll start a whole pile of conspiracy things.
That's sore loser talk.
Let's talk now. Let's not talk last year. I can talk about
the
Grey Cup game, Calgary and Toronto 2 years ago, which peed me off. But I'm not going to go there because it's done is done.
It's sore loser talk.
Yeah, you have a real basis for that argument, though, Schmidt. Let's move on.
The Argos won and they play in the Eastern Division.
That's
look
what
good
Frank
to me.
Has a show. We go week by week with every game, and we base our opinions.
Okay, look,
we're
we don't 15, have much time left.
15
now.
Minutes before this is over. Let's talk about the Winnipeg Toronto game coming up.
Yes,
what's going to happen? Who's going to pick? Do what? Sorry,
okay.
Frank.
No, that's what I wanted to say. You just said it like a half a second before I had a chance to say it. When we come back, we'll be talking about the game in Toronto.
And you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. We're the Argos cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candid Frank Live Show.
Yay! Go, Frank.
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, boy, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay, but in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You're going to go, I'm going to go. Go. There you go. Get out of there. You got it. That's football, Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy. CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know? I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later. Mark, see you later. Tim, see you later. And he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it, and I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
It's not hard to love the CFL. It's just not easy to love the East, apparently. Well, the Kings of the East right now, who have an incredible record, 2-4. Man, and they're dominating the Eastern Division, the Argos are. And they're going to be visited by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers tomorrow. And I will be at the game cheering for my Argos, knowing full well that they'll win. and they'll win in a walk. Willie's going to have probably his toughest game of the year. And what? I hear pessimism in the background. All right. In seriousness, I don't know who Ricky Ray is going to throw to, but I'm sure he'll find Childs. No, Childs isn't even. Who else isn't on? It's going to be interesting. Barker's going to have to earn his money. That's all I can say. We're going to have to see some talent out there because I think Winnipeg's going to be a little pissed, and there's going to be a lot of, you know, piss and vinegar is going to be out in the field. They're probably going to run out on the field before during the national anthem just to psych the Argos out. And, you know, it'll be an interesting battle. And I look forward to being at the game. It's been a while, right, Stevie, since we've been to a game. It almost seems like a year, right? It seems forever that we've been to a game. And we're going to get to go to two of them, and we're going to go to two of them in less than a week. So,
yeah, so does this count as a bye for the Argos? No, it doesn't, does it?
No, they had their bye.
Did we have a bye?
Yeah, they had a bye last week. Well, what they've done is there are a lot of people who are complaining about why are they playing Tuesday. It's in the best interest of the Argos to play on Tuesday after a bye week because they're playing basically, 10 days after their last game, and then they're playing 60. You know, they're playing 2 weeks worth of games in 2 weeks, just that they're doing it in a week.
And Winnipeg played when? When was that, Friday?
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
So they don't even have the same kind of a break, so that could go in our favor.
It could.
Be a long shot in a way, but...
The guys want to get on the field. They don't want to wait.
No, that's true.
After what happened in Saskatchewan, they want redemption, and they're going to try and redempt all over the Argos.
Drew's got to have to prove a point.
Yeah,
no CFL games played on Tuesday unless it's a Monday for Labor Day.
Argos.
I didn't catch what Kelly said.
Repeat that, Kelly. Did you say that the
Winnipeg... I said if Winnipeg tries to beat Saskatchewan this week, they're going to end up losing to the Argos. They got to put last week out of their heads, of course. I personally can't see them rallying to that point. I think last week was a crushing defeat, and I think you'll see Winnipeg go 0-2 in these 2 weeks.
We're not going away that easy.
How easy are you going away?
It's not even comparable to last year. You can't even. It's not the same team.
Oh, absolutely not.
And Saskatchewan didn't destroy us.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But I think to Kelly's point. It doesn't have to be demoralizing, Kelly. If you melt down what Kelly said, it comes down to the fact that they better not lose track of who they're playing this week. That's where I agree with Kelly. If they lose track of who they're playing,
I agree also.
That's it. That's all. And that's
yep, I totally
that's
agree.
The only advantage the Argos have. That's the only advantage the Argos have is if Winnipeg comes in here going, you know, forgetting who they're playing because and I got a guy who's in this group right now, Storm, when Calgary came in here, Storm wasn't thinking very highly of his chances.
Nope.
Right.
Oh, I don't think Winnipeg's going to go over there and mow them over. I really don't. I think that it's going to be a tight game.
Winnipeg's more frustrating game wasn't last week's game, but it was their game against Hamilton.
Yeah.
And how Hamilton ended up coming back, and they really had to fight for that win. I mean, that would have been more of a frustrating game for Winnipeg than their loss against the Riders.
Obviously, you don't know the intensity of the rivalry.
I understand the rivalry, but at the same time, when you look at the situation that Hamilton is in the East, along with the rest of us, and the way they're able to come back on Winnipeg and take the lead, and it took to the last second for Winnipeg to get that win by, what was it, 2 points? 1 point.
1 point. Yep. I think, but Steve, we're talking about the way that it left the club. And Winnipeg was left on a high after that game. In this game, they're left on a very low. If you know anything about this rivalry, when either one of these teams loses to the other, it's really tough to rebound.
Agreed.
Yeah,
but
no,
I think he's not arguing that point. He's not arguing with that. He's saying that Winnipeg has a completely different coaching style.
You guys are way off.
No, but that's real.
Look at the difference between the Labor Day game and the Banjo Bowl. They split that year after year after year. And last year, Saskatchewan demoralized Winnipeg in the Labor Day Classic, and Winnipeg came back in the Banjo Bowl and spanked them. So, no, I just totally disagree with that, Kelly.
Let's talk this year.
Well, we're talking this year. The point I'm with Steve, and the point that I think we're trying to make here is that Winnipeg has had not just a bad game last week. They haven't had the kind of games that would make coaches happy the last two games.
That's all
Stevie's saying, right, Stevie?
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100%.
They haven't played.
Well, an ugly win is a win, right?
Yeah. And your coach.
At the end, it is, definitely.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that's a good point. That's true.
That's all, you know, it's
apples and oranges. I don't think that the coaching. I don't know what you guys know about Mike O'Shea, but I try to find out everything I can about him, and his attitude is unique. He's a man of very few words. The media can't seem to get anything but five words out of the guy, but I think he's got a good point when he says, you were talking about taking Saskatchewan with us. He said, it's done, it's over, it's back there, and you move on.
Right. And that's all that's being said here. If they don't do that, if they don't pay attention to the coach, there could be in trouble. Mm-hmm. The coach is saying that. That's exactly what Stevie was saying, and I agree with Steve, is that the team has not played well the last two games, two good games. They haven't played two good – those two games weren't good. Yes, they won the second game, and quite clearly Hamilton could have won that game except for some fine quarterbacking and a great reception by an ex-Argo. Or, Saskatchewan would be looking at two losses in a row instead of 1-1, which is – that's the difference between a team that's 5-1 and a team that's 2-4. That's how it changes. It's what you do. It's like you said, Tammy, a win is a win is a win, because at the end of the day, what you got to do is win.
Yeah.
No win is ugly. There is no ugly win.
You can win a Grey Cup by a point, too, right?
That's right. Yeah. And nobody remembers that you lost by a point. They only remember the other team won.
Yeah.
And that's just all that matters.
The Bombers need to just they need more consistency. Not in Drew. He had one bad game. I mean, I think other than that, he's been pretty consistent in his part.
Well, hey, hang on. I'm going to defend Drew Willey. There were a couple of interceptions that the quarterback threw. Yes, they were easily intercepted, but I happen to think that a lot of the interception had to do with the fact that the receiver was waiting for the ball instead of attacking the ball and allowing the defender to jump
time.
In front. Well, and also you've got to go towards the ball. You can't just sit there and wait for it, because guess what? The defender's waiting for it too.
Well, and their running game's got to catch up with Drew Willey's arm, period.
Well, yeah, well, that's... That again is another story.
Nick Grigsby needs to step it up. I was so excited about him, and it's been the last two games have really stunk.
Have you ever heard of a quarterback named Kolaros? It's the same issue. No, it's the same issue. You can't expect a guy who's starting out in the league to do what a guy did for years for your team. And Winnipeg fans missed the guy that ended up in Saskatchewan. They miss him because Grigsby isn't him.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a chance to prove he could be as consistent as Will Ford. Not Will Ford, sorry.
Well, I'm getting a little pleasure out of Stamp not doing so hot.
Oh, jeez. There you go.
Hey, Frank, I'm going to get my 2 cents in here first before the show is over, but my prediction is Toronto over Winnipeg 31-12.
Whoa. Okay.
What?
Okay, go ahead, Tammy. Tell us what you think. What's the score of the game?
Oh, guys, quickly, I just, unfortunately, I have to run, so I just wanted to say goodbye before I didn't want to just hang
up. And the score. And the score. Tell us the score.
I couldn't give you an exact score. Toronto by 3.
Okay, there. That's good enough. That's the way I like doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Stevie, for taking the time to be on the show. You were on a lot longer than you'd planned.
Yes, I was. So I got an early morning ahead of me. So thanks again for letting me be on the show, and congratulations on 200 episodes.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
For sure.
See you tomorrow,
Kelly,
Frank.
What about you, buddy? Yeah, we'll talk. We'll see you tomorrow. Kelly, what about you? What do you think?
I'm taking Toronto in a low-scoring affair. Just like last week, I'm going to take
3-2.
The exact same score in the Saskatchewan game, 24-17 or 23-17. Yeah, 23-17.
How about you, Christopher? How about you, Christopher?
Winnipeg has something to prove. They're going to come out and do it.
They're going
to
play.
They have enough ponies in the stable. There's just not enough receivers there to make a difference. Winnipeg's taking this one.
There you go. As Storm did his, so Tammy, it's up to you.
She's going to agree with me again.
I do agree with
you. She's going to have to now. She's going to have
to. I do agree with you. I think they do have a score to settle with themselves. I think they disappointed themselves. I think they're going to come out fighting. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but maybe 27-19.
That's fairly high-scoring, but yeah, still. How about you, Mikey?
Well, now that I got a chance to say something, let's say Winnipeg by 6.
Okay, Mike, what else do you have to say about Wednesday's show?
Man, she ought to test all the topics. That's why I was quiet. That's why I didn't say nothing. So it didn't bother me.
What do you have to say about Wednesday's show? What do you have to say about
Wednesday's
show?
Oh, Wednesday's show? Oh, yeah, Wednesday's show I'm going to have one of my good friends, a special guest, a player from the Harrisburg Stampede, Tavius Bigelow. He's going to be a guest on the show Wednesday night, y'all.
Woo!
Tell us a little bit about him.
Oh, yeah. He's a football player from used to go to New Mexico State University, Eastern New Mexico University. 6-foot defensive back, played for the Harrisburg Stampede, Wyoming Cavalry, and he's looking to get to the CFL, to the NFL. He's a good player, just been overlooked. I posted his video highlight in the admin section of the CFL is. I also sent it to you, Chris, and I think I sent it to you, Frank. I think, Tammy, I think you watched the video from that mistake.
Yeah, that dude can cover.
And you got to see him in person. He's a real ball player, a real good corner.
And we'll have
that's
him on the show on Wednesday.
Asset. Mike.
I think he'd be a good asset to a team like BC or Toronto, especially learning from somebody like Cora Parks or Dante Marsh. He'd be a good asset.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're winding down real quick, everybody. Thumbs up, thumbs down, pass interference replay. How does it sit in your mind right now, Mike? Good or bad?
It's okay. It's okay. Room for improvement.
How about you, Tammy?
I think it's okay, too.
How about you, Storm?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with the other two. But, yeah, it's okay.
How about you, Christopher?
What do you think, Frank? What do you think, Frank?
Well, I was going to let you guys go first, and I would go last. Okay,
okay.
I'll go now. I like it. There's nothing beats getting the call right, in my opinion. That's always the bottom line, is getting the call right. But then again, there's been the odd replay that didn't seem to come out right. But I'm just saying, I don't want to make too much trouble for the officials. How about you, Christopher?
I think it's freaking awesome. It's one
there
of the best improvements we've had to our game in a very long time.
How about you, Kelly?
I hate it. I always have, and I always will. I think it changes the end game strategy, and I hate anything that does that. We had a great game, and it's what we grew up loving. Didn't need to be fixed.
Well, thanks, everyone, for being on the program. Sadly, today, one of my favorite actors, comedians, Robin Williams, died. We all have challenges in our lives, and for those of us that suffer from depression, it can be really gripping. And it doesn't matter how much you are loved, there does come a time when you just don't think it's worth living. Just remember, if you know somebody who's going through some depression, try to be a little bit of a sunshine in their life. You could be saving their lives. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. Have a great week. We'll be at the game tomorrow, and we'll be talking about the game on Wednesday. See you then. Bye.